Drop the Subject with Allie and James. Hi, how are you? This show, this hour, is brought to you by Plexiglass, the new star of 2020 and last night's vice presidential debates. Boy, it's always interesting. There are certain small things that make you feel like life is normal again. And then you watch the debates and you're like, no, this everything is completely messed up. And it was...
Although there was a little bit of normalcy with it in that it felt like they were cubicles, right? For those of you who work in like cubicle farms and you've been sort of thankful that you haven't had to be into them since March. It was sort of like, are you just like sitting yelling at the coworker that you hate? Like that Geico commercial or whatever that's like, I like you, heart emoji. We hate Bob, puke emoji. Like that's totally what it felt like. Yeah.
It really, it did have that weird separation to it. And cubicles, you know, I never really understood. And then when they went away and they did that open floor plan crap, I think everyone was really missing the cubicle because nobody felt like they had any privacy. No one really had desks anymore. It was just kind of like at Apple, it's just sit wherever at this white, long, never-ending table. And you don't really feel like you have a place. You can't put up pictures of your terrier or your wife. It's just kind of open and blank and innocuous. So
also, how do you like call and argue with the cable company or like the, you know, the lawnmower guys?
I do think that the Democratic Party, which I'm a member of, obviously, it's not like I poo-poo them by any stretch, but I think the setup, and you let me know, you're a medical guy, did it seem a little over the top to you? Because it wasn't, I was like, okay, this is safe, but it seemed like, okay, we have this one giant piece of plexiglass and then 6 feet and then another giant thing of plexiglass and we're both sitting and we're both going to bring met. It was just like, I don't want to say, you know, Pence and their administration, they were fighting against this and it was just this whole topic of contention before the debate even started. But it seems like the Democrats are making a big deal of like, we're the safe ones. We have giant plexiglass that's 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide. And they're big arching plexiglasses that are durable and thick. You're like, okay, we get it.
But here's the thing. I wanted them to go further. Like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to own that, own it then. Because that plexiglass...
Go pods.
So, like, right, when they were turning and facing each other, and they were not getting spittle upon each other. But we do now know, this didn't make a bunch of huge headlines, but the CDC made it official about 3 weeks ago that there is confirmed aerosolized transmission of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes the disease COVID-19. So... it could just be floating around. Like, yes, the plexiglass helped, but that's also they were just like floating around. So at least they were 12 feet away from each other or whatever. I don't know. I sort of was like, Dems, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be like, we're the safe ones, that plexiglass should have been floor to ceiling, like front to back, right. Like the whole auditorium, right? All of the state of Utah was on one side of one sheet of the plexiglass and the rest of the state was on the other.
Well, you know, what they could do, which they should have done, that would have been awesome, is put them in little hamster balls, because that would have been a more entertaining debate. They could have walked around the stage and we could have seen right through, you know, it's transparent. And I think it would have been more fun. It would have been more challenging. Ooh, is one of them going to knock each other over? You know, I mean, it could have been a little bit gladiator style. We have to make the debates interesting and dynamic and change along with the times.
I mean, because if Donald Trump isn't making the debates interesting enough, I'm totally with you. And that you make them the big air blow up ones, right? And then you see who can bounce the furthest. Maybe that should just be like how we designate who wins. Like when they slam into each other and then if you bounce the furthest away or whatever, you lose.
It's like a big episode of Wipeout. All right. Exactly. We did watch the debates last night. And if you missed anything, here are the highlights in Mortal Kombat form, because after all, Mortal Kamala is still alive and well, and she knows how to issue out those zingers. Here's your Mortal Kamala debate highlights.
Thank you, Vice President. Vice President.
The doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
Excellent.
He interrupted me. If you don't mind letting me finish, we can then have a conversation. Okay?
Please.
Okay.
Round two. Fight.
I'm so glad we went through a little history lesson. Let's do that a little more.
Yeah, let's talk about packing the court then.
Yeah, I'm about to. You lost that trade war. You lost it. Honest Abe said it's not the right thing to do.
Sub-Zero.
I just want the record to reflect she never answered the question. As I said, Susan, the climate is changing.
Finish him.
And we will decriminalize marijuana. I will not sit here and be lectured by the vice president on what it means to enforce the laws of our country.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject with Allie and James. Since it is Thursday and we haven't done it in a little while, it's gay, gay, cray, cray time, which means I will share a story of a couple doing something a little unconventional. Sometimes it involves jail time. Other times it's just couples doing things that make the news. And I will reveal as many details as I can about that story without revealing any of the genders or names involved. And you guess whether they are a gay gay couple or a regular hetero cray cray couple. This is gay gay cray cray. James.
Are you ready? Yes.
I bring you a story from the animal kingdom. And I have to say that because it's about otters, and you would have still thought I was, you said you would have immediately gone gay-gay.
Gay-gay, right away.
If I had not said that they're not human.
I love me an otter. This is like my little, just like a little thing. When I go to the zoo, you know what I'm saying? I like me a little otter. Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, who doesn't?
Hello.
Well, I will tell you a love story about two otters, and you tell me if they are a gay-gay couple or a cray-cray couple. You ready?
I mean, all of the same hints, subtle things about like what they're wearing, what they say, what they were throwing at their partner, mm-hmm. or whatever. It doesn't apply in the otter world. This is really tough, Allie. Good job.
It
Good
doesn't.
Job. I'm ready.
Fishing right. for Love is the title of this story. Caretakers at a Cornish seal sanctuary in England have helped a 10-year-old Asian short-clawed Stop. Otter find a new mate through an online dating service.
Stop. Okay. This, so the ridiculousness that just came out of your mouth in the last 20 seconds, I can't.
Well, that's why I had to just read the first sentence as is. So thank you, Yahoo pause. Life section, for providing this.
Oh, boy. Otter dating apps. Continue.
I will give you one name because it's gender neutral name. So this 10-year-old otter, the otter in question, was with another otter for a long period of time named Apricot. And Apricot died at the age of 16. So this lonely short-clawed otter needed a new mate. So the people at the seal sanctuary decided to put the short-clawed otter up on the dating site called Fishing for Love. And they put up a whole profile for them. And they said, you know, this otter's very lonely, needs love. They live in pairs. And this otter particularly is such a great partner. The team really wanted them to be able to get a second chance at love. And lo and behold, another otter at Scarborough Sea Life also recently had lost their partner.
Stop.
Yes. And I will also reveal this name because it's gender neutral. Pumpkin is the other otter that they found in Scarborough.
Oh, hey, Pumpkin.
And they had recently lost their elderly partner as well. So Pumpkin was feeling lonely. This other otter was feeling lonely. And the team thought that they would be the perfect match to each other. According to the sanctuary, I guess Asian short-clawed otters can be rather nerve-wracking and difficult to get right when it comes to pairing them up. Mm. And they fell right in love. And Aww. Now the regular otter, the otter in question, the protagonist of our otter story, will be moving to Pumpkin's enclosure. And they lived happily otter after.
Okay, there's so much going on. I thought I was into like a just a regular cray cray otter love story until you were like, Asian short-clawed otters are particularly feisty and picky about with whom they fall in love. So I feel like already, like, Pumpkin was like swiping, and like, why am I not in a relationship? And like putting memes up about being single, but also like never wanting to go on a date with anyone, which makes me think that this is a very gay otter. Plus, I don't know, like, Pumpkin, like, I just feel like, you know, I had a cousin named Pumpkin, but I feel like otherwise it's gay boy Pumpkin. I'm going full wee ho, full gay. I'm going leather bar gay otters.
Okay. I want to make a joke, but I can't because it's not radio friendly. I'm going to reveal the answer now. I unfortunately have to tell you, James, that you are wrong.
Oh, no.
Harris is the name of the claw, Asian name. 10 claw, whatever otter. And I know it's a cute name. And Pumpkin is a female who lost her former partner, Eric. So
really? I'm glad that Harris, Pumpkin, and, Apricot, Eric.
And Eric. So I guess that trend of naming animals after old white guys is still alive and kicking in other animals in the community. It's not just dogs. So congratulations to Harris and to Pumpkin. Unfortunately, they are a hetero couple, but that is why we play Gay Gay Cray Cray, because the questions never stop. And we will be right back after this 2-minute break.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. Allie Johnson, James Simmons, who is bald. And at first, by choice, shaved headed, if you will. And now I officially do get to call myself bald because I can grow hair in sort of the like skirted eggshell pattern, if you will, with like a little
bit
in front. Yeah, full on like 4x4 bald spot right in the middle, a la LeBron James, who really just needs to let it go. Like, and this makes me sad.
Get rid of the spray paint, buddy.
It's because it's not working. And you know what? I really want hair. Like, I wanted dreads and I want to do all these things and cornrows. I'm super jealous. And now I just got to rock the bald look, which it works on me, whatever. But
it does. It looks good on you.
Thank
you. I would look like a complete idiot bald. My head is so misshapen. I don't think my mom really like laid me the right ways. And I just have
it. Or she dropped you multiple times, you know.
I mean, who knows what happened? It was the 80s.
Right. Well, and speaking of 80s, one of the most popular hairstyles from the 80s is making a dramatic comeback. And I oscillate on this one. Mostly, no, I am not into this. But you know where I'm going with the hairstyle that's back, because you've seen it the three times you've been out this month to the grocery store. You've seen it online for sure. It was at Rihanna's Savage X Fenty runway show that just happened, that was like all the rage. Ladies and gentlemen, and folks who do not have a name that can hold you into a box yet, the mullet.
Ah, the mullet. I have a personal vendetta against the mullet because I had a short haircut, a pixie haircut that grew out a little bit too long. And back in my days doing morning radio up in the Bay Area, we did a video for the radio station, and everyone believed from that point on that I had a mullet. And it was just because I had a pixie cut that had grown out. It was not an intentional mullet.
Uh-huh.
And it got to the point where someone started a Twitter account for my mullet. There were songs that were made about my mullet.
Oh, no.
It was, oh, yeah.
Little trauma there, Allie Johnson.
There's a lot. There's a lot there that my therapist and I have worked through. But I urge you, I know that this is a trend that's coming back, but if you are thinking of doing this,
please
do
God,
not do it.
Don't.
This is not something that should come back. If we're thinking, oh yeah, crop tops, tube tops, and puka shells, sure, those were weird, but let's do it. Mullets, no. They shouldn't have been a thing then. They shouldn't be a thing now. And if you look at some of these pictures, even people who look flattering in the mullet, like I'm looking at some pictures now, and you're looking at the same ones, James.
Yep.
Some of these people look not so bad, right? It's mostly women.
Yeah, and I think it's if you're the type of person who can have, because I think it's the front that shapes your face, often ends up being the issue, right? Like if you have this front, it's the front, and then you're like, you're shocked by the party that's going on in the back. But if you can't handle that sort of tight do in the front anyway, like don't mess around and make it into a mullet. That just makes it doubly worse.
Right. And Miley Cyrus has been rocking a mullet for a little while this year. There are some others that are in Rihanna, you mentioned. And if you think, oh, these people look pretty good in a mullet, maybe I should do that. Picture them in the mullet, then picture them with any other hairstyle. And you will realize that they also look bad in a mullet. Like, those people are just really hot, and they, this is what hot people do, right? They challenge themselves to have ugly haircuts to see how hot they could possibly be.
Is this why?
Like, what if I just had no hair? Like, and you're like, yeah, you're still hot.
Still hot.
What if I had a mullet? Oh, wow, still hot.
Or like, what if I wore high-waisted jeans all the time?
Yeah.
Like, you're just
And nerd
you're just
glasses.
Still hot.
Still hot.
Like, So damn hipster models. If we were able to go out in the world, and I bet you this would have been a bigger thing. I bet you mullets would have been trending a lot more. It would have been, we would see many more people doing it. So I'm actually okay with mullet having their return now, because it's not going to turn into a big thing, because we're not out at the clubs. We're not seeing these things. So fine, you can have, you can have 2020. Take her.
God.
we don't want it anymore.
These poor hairstylists, they had to stay closed and they weren't able to do haircuts on anybody. And now they're finally able to reopen and everyone's like, give me a mullet. They're like, what kind of place am I living?
Right.
Unbelievable.
What is this continuous hell?
Yes, exactly. We'll be right back with more Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject. It's Halloween almost, which means that you want to get in the mood with some macabre subject matter, which going into the dark web will always provide. I know, James, this is not your favorite thing that we do on Drop the Subject, but it is important that we cover all of the highly illegal things that you can buy on the black market digitally. If you have a Tor, if you have an onion, yeah.
Or
those
are
all hot terms. No, they are essential parts of our lives. I have been focusing on a different category every week. Each one makes James cringe a little more, but do you feel that you're getting a little bit desensitized to it?
I wonder if I am, because I'm not having quite the same response or reaction to it. But I also think the last couple of weeks you were kind to me. You were nice because you just came right out the gate with, like, it's like the big drop in a roller coaster, right? You just like hit me like right in the beginning and you were like, all right, how about an elbow from a live person? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I really did start off with body parts in a big way. But this time I am going with a subject matter that we have not yet covered on the show. I'm going with drugs.
Oh, great. Don't do drugs, kids. Drugs are bad.
Don't do drugs. But the Silk Road was something that, fascinating history. If you want to learn about how the Silk Road was created, there are so many online marketplaces now to buy drugs, very illegal drugs like MDMA and, you know, weed you can get shipped to any part of the world. All kinds of things. I'm going to give you three items that you can buy on the dark web, and you have to place them in price order. And we will start with 1 gram of cocaine. 1 gram of cocaine.
Are we even allowed to talk about this? Come on, really? You cannot buy. Don't buy cocaine on the web. Okay, fine.
Just for a reference, price reference. How much do you think 1 gram of MDMA goes on the dark web?
I'm so bad at this because I'm not a drug guy. I would say
$550.
Sure.
That's $37.
What? No wonder people are doing so many drugs. It's cheap. Okay. $37.
That's cheaper than drinking all night.
That's all right. I mean, yeah. Well, all right. No, don't. Drugs are bad.
All right. So 1 gram of cocaine is your first item. Your second item, let's go with some ayahuasca.
Oh.
You can buy ayahuasca online. You don't need a shaman. You don't have to pay for a weird retreat and trip balls. You can do this in the courtesy of your own home with a brew kit. There's a disclaimer saying to drink this at your own risk. It lets you know drinking this alone for the first time is highly undesirable, and you may experience unpleasant side effects like stomach aches, intense nausea, high blood pressure, diarrhea, transpiration, dizziness, and vomiting.
And death.
All right. And death. Like, yeah, I think they just throw in death at any time there.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, a 30 mil pack of Adderall, prescription med variety pack. Yeah, Adderall is sold in many different sorts of packages online. These 30 milligram, 30 packs are deemed relatively common. So I won't reveal the median price, but that is your third item.
Can I just have some issue here with like 30 milligrams
is pretty a lot, isn't
it? That's a good amount of Adderall. I mean, you've seen higher. No, that's a big shot of Adderall. You definitely do not start at that dose, but it's Adderall. Why are we putting Adderall and ayahuasca in the same bucket? Like, Adderall is technically controlled speed, but like these are categorically different. Like, you are not going to hallucinate into like traffic on Adderall. I do not like this one bit. Do not buy. Drugs are bad. Don't buy anything on the dark web. I have to figure out what alley, which one is dumber, the dumbest in order.
The prices from Most to least expensive.
Ayahuasca 1, Adderall 2, cocaine 3.
Okay, you are so wrong.
I don't mind losing this game.
The ayahuasca is the cheapest. That is $43 for one kit.
Stop.
That you can have, yeah, delivered to your house.
Get out.
Would imagine some kind of a mysterious package labeling, so it's not obvious who it's from. The
here's your
gram
ayahuasca.
Of cocaine. Here you go. This is not ayahuasca. They write on it. The gram of cocaine runs usually for about $97 a gram.
Jinkings.
I don't really know the prices of cocaine, so I'm not really sure if that's more expensive than it should be. And then finally, the 30 milligram 30 pack of Adderall is the pièce de résistance. It is $183.46 for a 30 pack of that. And Xan, just so you know, there was a big drug bust that just happened, a big dark web drug bust a couple weeks ago.
Good.
And one of the people who was implicated in that has called himself Dr. Xanax, and he would sell 4 30 packs of Xanax for $233. So that is, he was making a lot of money, but now he's in jail because, yes, James is right, drugs are bad, and especially abusing your medical license to do so. F you, buddy. We'll be right back with more Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject. Allie and James. New Channel Q. Listening to this could cause blood clots, headaches, blurred vision, aggression, agitation, anxiety, irritability, and depression. Oh, wait, nope. That's not Drop the Subject, Allie.
Or is it?
Or is it? That is actually steroids, specifically dexamethasone, which is the steroid that Donald Trump is taking right now. This is pretty common now in COVID therapy. I give lots of my patients dexamethasone. It's great. In fact, some of the research on this is showing that it does increase survival rates of, ready, here's the asterisk, severely ill COVID-19 patients who may require a ventilator or supplemental oxygen. Well, we don't know how ill Donald Trump is or was, because no one will tell us. No one had seen the man since he got back from Walter Reed. We don't know how much oxygen he was using, when he actually tested positive, what day of his illness is this. But what we do know is what trends on Twitter, kids. And the last 24 hours or so, Trump and steroids has been trending because this guy is back, well, if we think it's him, back on the Twitter storm. And he's like, I feel great. I feel amazing. I feel wonderful. Like, this is awesome. And he's like, I want to talk about a stimulus package. Let's do 2 Juliet. Never mind. We're not doing a stimulus package. Tom,
yeah,
just kidding.
He's
yes, we are.
All over the place, which he's normally, but it
totally
seems a little more cray cray than normal. So a lot of people are asking, is he roided out? Is he in some weird roid ragey fit?
Yeah. And this is, you know, I want to make it sort of clear to everybody that like these types of steroids are different than like anabolic steroids that bodybuilders use, right? That's like, those are like hormone steroids in kind of a different category. This is, dexamethasone is cheap. It's widely available. It's a corticosteroid. We use it for all kinds of things. But in this particular instance, they gave it to Donald Trump to prevent him having like an overreaction of his immune system, which is one of the things that actually makes people really sick and can kill some people with COVID. It doesn't end up being COVID itself. It's that your immune system overreacts to the virus. So they gave him this. It's part of this like remdesivir and Regeneron and blah, 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 all this other stuff he got. Well, the guy's been going crazy, and I think it's just absolutely hysterical that steroids have been trending on Twitter, and everyone's like, is this guy roid raging? Is this why he's so emotional? And no, I'm not going to give the steroids that power. I think he's just this emotional.
Yeah, I mean, the all caps Twitter rant messages, they barely slowed down when he was in the hospital.
Yeah, it was like maybe 48 hours.
And that was probably
hours.
Before, right. So I think that he feels the need to overcompensate because he had this one moment of, God forbid, this man appears weak to anybody. So having any kind of moment of weakness being sent to a hospital raises all these questions from America about whether this man is, yeah, a man or whatever. And so he wants to make sure that he makes up for lost time by going on all the rants and doing all the things and being like, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Ah! But it's incredibly insulting to people who have survived COVID and had a very hard time, or the friends and the lives and the families of those who passed because of COVID-19. He's getting a lot of backlash for that because it seems that he is delegitimizing their experience. It doesn't seem that way. That's exactly what he's doing.
It is what he's doing, to say things, you know, like that, like, don't be afraid of it. Don't let it dominate your life. These are people that I have to stare at their faces on an almost daily basis who have this. And these people aren't weak. The people that are fighting this and having to be away from their families and all those things, they're not weak. And it's just such an insult. It really, really makes me angry. The steroids can cause psychosis, delirium, and mania. However, I'm still not going to give those to the steroids. I'm just going to give that to Donald Trump. You're welcome.
I mean, that's another thing we can do to change up the debate. Just everyone gets a steroid injection right before the mics turn on. Just see what happens.
Yeah, here's your burst of steroids. Ready? And your 10-foot plexiglass. Go.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you for the update, James. When we come back, what are we talking about next? Oh, right. It is News It or Lose It time. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
That's right. It is time for News It or Lose It. I am James Simmons. That is Ali Johnson. You are listening to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. Listen, I have two headlines. Ali gets to decide whether or not she wants to news one of them, and the other one, that which we lose, we never speak of again. Ali will do the same for me. She's got two headlines. I make the same decision. I have the far superior binger banger dinger clanger for sure. Ali Johnson, are you ready for your two headlines?
I'm Rhett.
Numero uno, Madonna refused to work with David Guetta for the most Madonna reason imaginable.
You know, we're limited on time. TikTok, TikTok. I'm going to lose this.
All right, Ali, maybe you should have kept it, because instead we have to read Mike Pence's article advising employers never to hire gay people.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. Uh-huh. I can wait to hear about that, and I also can't wait. Okay. Here are your headlines, James. Dr. Fauci has finally commented on how hot everyone thinks he is.
This is cute. I'm sure it was a very Tony Fauci, like, oh, I'm not hot. You guys are crazy. Like, put on your masks. So even though I think he's totally adorbs, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, okay. You're losing it. Then I will tell you about the Christmas puppy shortage that is about to take place.
Oh, God. Yes, because then I can rant and rave about people not getting puppies. Please don't do it.
All right. I will blow through this so that we can save time for Mike Pence and his bigotry,
which is what we should do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Puppy demand is it's sky high right now. Okay. And that means that there's not going to be enough puppies for Christmas.
No. So no. Don't adopt puppies for Christmas.
But here's what's fascinating. A lot of puppy breeding takes place in the Midwest, I guess, where there's more space. And I'm not talking about like the crappy puppy mill. I'm talking about like people who do it humanely and do a good, you know, they go through the right hoops and they are legitimately breeding dogs like Labradoodles. Uh-huh. You get a Labradoodle puppy, you know, from a breeder. It's going to be more expensive, but it is ultimately a lot of people end up doing that. So there is so much demand. They have seen $100 billion in profit this year.
Whoa.
And because most of them are in the Midwest, they have to fly them out to whatever city, whether it's San Francisco or LA or New York or wherever. And so they've now launched their own private puppy planes so that they can meet the demand and send all of these puppies to their bigger cities.
Stop it. That's crazy. Puppy planes?
Puppy planes.
Puppy planes. I wonder.
Puppy planes.
I wonder if we can repurpose some of the people who work in the people aviation industry who are losing their jobs into working for puppy planes, so they don't have to lose their jobs and they can play with puppies.
I think that would be great. Any flight attendants who are out of a job, look into puppy planes. Or, I mean, we could go the total opposite direction and just have puppies be the flight attendants and the pilots.
Is this another dark web?
Well, they can play cards thing. In that one picture. You never know.
Right. You never know. That's like that Sia song, by the way. Did you hear that? Puppies are forever, not just for Christmas. It was on repeat in our house last Christmas. It will stick with you forever. God love you, Sia. So Mike Pence wrote a, has said things, let me back up, jokingly, like, he wants to hang all the gays, right? This is where all of the joking comes from, that he's so over the top concerned about the gays as a apparently straight man that maybe he's not, right? He has fashioned homosexuality as a pathological condition, all of these other things. Here's just one clip from a memo that he wrote. I think this was when he was a governor still. Yeah, in the 90s.
So this was a while ago.
It was a while ago. Published numerous articles urging employers not to hire gay people, compulsively churning out copy like, homosexuals are not as a group able-bodied. They are known to carry extremely high rates of disease brought on because of the nature of their sexual practices and the promiscuity, which is a hallmark of their lifestyle. This is the president. Sorry, God, no.
The vice president
of the United States of America says things and like see, this and continues
this is
to believe
why.
Them.
Yeah, this is why I didn't want the president to die.
Right. Because
and I know a lot of people were like, which is, I never support that. I never want to support somebody publicly wishing death upon another person, even if they are the worst person ever. But I was thinking, God, if Trump did die, that would be horrible because then Mike Pence would be somehow running and it would reinvigorate people that are super, super right wing, but have left the Trump camp. You know,
right.
And I just think it would be way too risky. I really feel that it would be more likely for Biden to lose if he was going up against Pence than Trump.
Yep, I agree. Because that Pence is not going to give you those antics and he's really smart and people would vote for him. But hopefully that's not what they're going to vote for. They're going to vote the way they should. Whatever you do, please don't forget to vote. Vote411.org. No more than 2 minutes of commercials. We love you. We'll be right back. Mwah.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject, Allie and James. It is time, unfortunately, to close up shop.
Close up shop. Close up shop.
The good news is that we have more for you tomorrow. On today's show, we covered Gay Gay Cray Cray. We talked about otter love and Gay Gay Cray Cray. We talked about the new trend in 2020 called mullets. Don't do it. We did some dark web stuff, a lot of different talk and things that we did on today's show. So if you missed any of it, do check out that podcast. And just off the air, we were discussing something that I find interesting. What is that one show that you have watched the pilot of 17,000 times and you still cannot commit to watching the full show? James, you said for you, you have watched Watchmen. How many times now?
Well, only three, but it feels like 17. Because first of all, I don't know if any of you have seen this, but the pilot episode of Watchmen, the series on HBO, is really traumatic. It's super intense. And you understand why Regina King is like nominated for everything. Like, she's fantastic. The whole show is amazing. They do a great job of setting up. But like the first 20 minutes of that episode, particularly as a black man in America right now, is like really, really emotional.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I don't want to give it away because I think people should still watch it. You know, the show's nominated for like 400 Emmys, whatever. But I watched the first episode and then Chris was like, wait. I want to watch this with you. This is our one show that we'll watch together. Okay, fine. So I waited for him. So then we watched, finally, like 2 weeks later, we watched the first episode again. And he had so many questions. We had to pause it like so many times. And he's like, wait, is that how it actually happened? Wait, is this? What does that mean? Why are they doing this? What are they wearing masks for? So then we watched it again, and then, this was just the other night, we watched it again, and then at the very beginning of episode number two, he fell asleep.
Oh, no.
I have been waiting months to watch this show, and he keeps falling asleep.
Well, there are some that you can just blow right through the pilot and continue on. It's very bingeable in that way, but there are some pilots that are just, they're really good. They're just a lot. Like, for me, I think I watched Handmaid's Tale, the first episode, four different times before I got into it, because I was like, what? It's just so much simulation. You're like, what is going on? Why are you in a weird colonial dress now? But then you're not in that other scene. What's happening with your daughter? You have a daughter and now you're married and now, hold on a minute, you're opening your legs for this guy. What's happening?
Right.
And I watched the pilot and I was like, I'm confused. And it was kind of like slow, but not slow. And I just didn't know what to do. But then everyone kept telling me to watch it. So I kept watching the pilot over and over again. And then finally clicked play on episode 2. And of course, now I love the show. But Parks and Rec is another one that I've watched the pilot. I think I must have watched it 5 times by now. And I've still not watched episode 2.
Yep.
Zoe's, because it's also so overwhelming to watch that entire the series.
Yeah, it's a lot. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Adorable show. Super cute. Fun, sort of like an adult Glee, if you will, but she's like, all of these things are happening in her head and whatever. It's great. We watched the pilot episode the day it came out, and then we recorded it on DVR, and then we didn't watch it for like a year. So then we're like, oh, let's go back and watch it again. So then we watched the pilot again. Same thing. Someone fell asleep. So then we're like, well, I forgot what happened. So then we watched the end of it again. Yeah, this is a this is a theme in our household, Allie. I could keep going.
You know, I think maybe Chris can do reviews that are just the first 15 minutes of things. So it's just reviews of the first 15 minutes of every show and every movie that's on streaming.
Until he falls asleep. Well, this is how, are you ready? I'm going to share one of his deepest, darkest secrets ever. This is how he watched the first 5 seasons of Game of Thrones. He went on to YouTube and watched the 45-minute recap of the first 5 seasons.
Oh, before season 6 premiered?
Before season 6, because I was I would like clothes on and I had a party and I was like, season 6. And he was like, well, I want to watch. And I was like, well, you can't watch until you catch up. And so he went on YouTube and watched the thing to catch up. I'm like, that doesn't count. That doesn't mean anything to you now.
That is totally cheating.
Totally cheating.
I remember when season 7 premiered, I was still on with Jarrett. He said that he watched all of season 7, never watched the first 6. He just never cared to, never did, and just watched the season 7 and was like, cool, that's all I need. Jarrett, never felt the need to catch up. And my wife, when season 6 started, because it was one of those where it was a really long time that you were waiting. It was like a year and a half that you felt like you were waiting for the next season. So it was like the night of the season premiere, Sunday night. I was so effing excited. I'd watched my recaps. And Katie had never watched the show, or she actually watched the pilot a couple of times, but she got up to the part where the dire wolf dies and she was like, I'm done. I can't do this show.
Right. Like lots of people.
So, yeah. And so I was about to hit play and she was like, you know what? I am going to watch it. I'm going to start from season 1, episode 1. And I waited until she finished it.
I mean,
all 5 seasons.
You waited? That is love. Wow. Yeah.
But then I decided, you know what? Fine. I'll do a whole big recap with her. And it actually was kind of nice to rewatch all of it before season 6.
Totally.
Not something I would recommend doing a second time, though. All right. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.